Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
You made it through the week. It's the Friday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack, and we'll see if we make it through the podcast without the handyman showing up to fix my clogged sink. But I did say Friday, right?
Start spreading the news.
Oh, that music means, yeah, you know. Schomburg Stu is here. How you doing, Stu?
I'm doing okay. Who's winning in Pennsylvania?
I think you are, aren't you?
I'm a write-in candidate, and I'm projected to be a winner.
And if you're in Pennsylvania and you'd like to give Stu and I a call, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. Of course, you can do that from any other state you'd like as well. If you don't want to call, go ahead and email us. sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so look for one popping up there sometime tomorrow morning. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you want to hit that link, follow it over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we'd greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, still no luck getting Stu on Twitter, but you can find me over there at Burke Time, and feel free to send me any kind of message you want to Stu, and I will pass it along. So there you go. All right, well, we have three, pretty sort of kind of interesting baseball stories, and I want to start with the one that I just think is hilarious, Stu, because I flipped on the MLB Network good old station today, and the big thing at the bottom of the screen is, breaking news. Oh, it's breaking news. Oh, great, something happened. And they come out and announce that the Red Sox have named Alex Cora as their manager. Now, if you've been listening to this podcast for, I don't know, the last 5 months, I've been telling you this was going to happen, so I don't understand how this is breaking news to anybody who was paying attention. I mean, wasn't it pretty obvious after they tanked last year and Renicky decided to, I believe he left for, wanted to spend more time with his family or something. I mean, this was just all the Red Sox plan, right?
Absolutely. It really was a foregone conclusion. And, well, I guess they have to do that because they try to get, trying to get you to stay on the station a little bit longer with the breaking news routine at the bottom. But it was not really earth-shattering breaking news to anybody who's been following this scenario for that long period of time.
Yeah, and I did get a kick out of, like, the announcer, and it's so weird that I actually did hear one person on the network, Chris Rose today, did mention that he knew this was going to happen all along, but everybody else played it off like they were shocked and they couldn't believe they were going to go back to Alex Cora, and they interviewed so many guys, and then they decided, okay, well, apparently the other guy in consideration was Sam Fold, and I know you remember Sam Fold because he was a former Cub great.
Absolutely, one of the great Cub players in history.
So, but, yeah, apparently he is on the cusp of landing a managerial job. So we'll see. Probably not this year. I don't think there's any openings left. But, maybe next year or down the road we'll see Sam Fold as a manager. But, yeah, I just got such a kick out of it. And now there seems to be two sides to this. There are the people who are okay with him coming back because he served his suspension and – he did all of that. And then there's the other side where they're all, kind of ticked off because he's back. Where do you fall in on this?
Well, I'm forgiving, I suppose. He's paid his dues. He was out for the season, and he's got a clean slate according to the MLB, so let's give him another chance and see what happens this time.
Yeah, you know, I kind of fit into the more of I don't care, because I believe that pretty much everybody is attempting to cheat in some way, shape, or form. These guys were just dumb enough to get caught. You know, and in reality, guys like Cora and Hinch and even Jeff Luhnow, the GM who got canned, they didn't have a ton to do with it. It was more player involved. But, you know, like with a lot of legal cases, you know, Major League Baseball suspending the players for getting them to testify. So when you had to suspend somebody, you went after the managers and the general managers.
Yeah, isn't that the case? Isn't that always the way it works out, that the players walk off scot-free and the management, whoever is in management, manager, GM, gets the brunt of the suspensions?
Yeah, and, you know, and the other case would have been, had they tried to suspend the players, you know, the players' union would have started filing lawsuits left and right, and it would have been a big fiasco. So they kind of saved themselves that nightmare where, you know, the coaches and the general managers, they don't have a union. The baseball just kind of says, hey, this is it, see you later. But now, you know, Alex Cora is back after cheating. A.J. Hinch is back after cheating. We haven't heard anything about Carlos Beltran. You know, his name wasn't mentioned as interviewing for any jobs or anything like that. And I haven't heard anybody mention about putting Jeff Luhnow back in the front office, you know, even though he was very successful in turning the Astros into a winner. So we'll have to see what becomes of those two guys. But, you know, Beltran might just, you know, give Major League Baseball the big finger because he doesn't need the money. He had a long playing career and made boatloads of money. So we'll see. But, you know, Luhnow apparently is a pretty good GM. Do you see somebody getting him back in the front office?
Absolutely. Well, the name of the game is winning, right? I mean, you could forego a lot of character problem faults with the person. But if they can give you a winner, hey, come on board. Welcome aboard. Get me 98 wins next season.
Yeah, it's interesting the things, you know, baseball will forgive if they think you can help them win. So, you know, I fully expect him to be returning at some point in time. You know, maybe he'll be the heir apparent to Theo Epstein here in Chicago.
Well, that would be interesting. And I do see Beltran coming back within the next year or two as a manager somewhere. Someone's going to give him a shot, and I think he'd do a good job, too.
Yeah, you know, it won't surprise me. You know, Beltran, of course, he was named the manager of the Mets, and they made some news today as well. You know, the sale to, was it Steve Cohen, I believe, was the billionaire who bought their
yes.
team, I want to say. Well, he didn't waste any time in cleaning house. He got rid of the general manager, Brody Van Wagenen, and everybody else in the front office. Now, the manager did survive. You know, they brought in Sandy Alderson to kind of oversee things, and he's going to be in charge of restructuring the Mets front office. You know, to be fair, this really isn't a surprise. I mean, you get a new owner and they're going to want their new, you know, their people in. It is a little interesting that it was everybody. You know, I mean, looking here, not only was it the general manager, it was the assistant general manager, then the special assistant to the general manager, the executive director of player personnel. And then it looks like they're not sure yet. They have a senior vice president and senior strategy officer whose name didn't come out. But you got to think if they cleaned house on everybody, he's probably gone too. So
you would think so.
We'll,
I, I do think that if the Mets are healthy next season, but still falter and still are a subpar team, the manager is gone. I'll give him one more year, but if they're below 500 again, and if they're healthy, doubly sure he's gone.
Yeah, you would think, you know, and I know this this manager, and I know his last name is Rojas, but, you know, anytime I think Rojas involved with baseball, I automatically go to Cookie, and I know it's not Cookie Rojas, so I'm going to have to take a quick look here and see who their manager is, because I'm drawing a blank on his name here. But yeah, you've got to wonder, you know, they were sub 500 in the 60 game season. So you've got to kind of, you know, what were they, 26 and 34, you know, and I know they did play, you know, obviously without Noah Syndergaard and like quite a few teams, they had some, you know, the other injuries. I don't believe Jed Lowry played a game for him after they signed him to a pretty sizable free agent contract. So, you know, we'll see. And it's Luis Rojas. I don't know why I couldn't think of that, but it's Luis Rojas is the Mets manager.
Is he related to Cookie?
You know, I don't know. Let me see if I can find any more information out about him here, because that would be kind of humorous if he was. So,
yeah, I do remember Cookie. He was a pretty good ball player.
Yeah, I just remember, you know, I had a ton of like Cookie Rojas baseball cards and, you know, all that other stuff. So that's why the name popped into my head like that. But it does not appear that they are related. So
yeah, and regarding the sale of the Mets to this billionaire, I question his judgment, because it's going to be very difficult and costly to turn that team around, don't you think? Especially with the uncertainty for baseball for next year.
Yeah, well, you know, they were mentioned, you know, they talked a little bit about that today, and apparently none of this is any issue for this guy. He, you know, he has more money than, you know, God, as the saying goes, and this just apparently is not going to be, you know, any type of an issue. But, you know, if they get Noah Syndergaard back and they pair him with Jacob DeGrom, you know, that automatically gives them one of the best 1-2 starters in baseball. You know, DeGrom's got a chance to win his third consecutive Cy Young, and, you know, Syndergaard isn't that far behind him when it comes to starting pitching. It's just, you know, can they fill out the rest of the roster? And, you know, obviously they have Pete Alonso, and it looks like Dominic Smith may have finally found his groove. You know, Michael Conforto was a very good player, and, you know, they have, you know, some other decent names on here. You just wonder, you know, if they'll produce, and, you know, how it'll kind of work out. But yeah, they're really a bit of an enigma when it comes to a team.
Well, you got to think that he's going to be very active in the free agency market anyway. I don't think he's going to be too reticent about spending big bucks to get some top players to fill out the roster.
Yeah, no, the rumor is that is their plan. You know, they are going to jump in with both feet and try to, you know, try to pick up some of these big name free agents. I don't know if it's you know, if it would be a Trevor Bauer type, if that's what they're looking for. But yeah, they're, you know, and I know they made a bunch of signings yesterday. You know, it was nothing, you know, nothing major. They did sign some players that, you know, you would know the name. I believe they, you know, one of them was Jose Peraza, who was with the Red Sox last year, but I believe spent the bulk of his career with the Reds. And then they also signed Malik Smith, who spent some time with, I want to say, the Rays and the Mariners. And both those guys were looked at as, you know, they were supposed to be quality Major League Baseball players, and it just didn't work out for either of them. So you wonder if maybe they can find it with the Mets and contribute, or, you know, who knows? It's always so difficult. Or maybe they can give them a little something off the bench. But
possibly, yeah.
Yeah, you know, nothing major yet.
Well, you know, the Mets fans, they've always had a rabid fan base, and I'm not sure if they still have that loyalty, because they've been pretty down the last few years. But they're a major, obviously a major city, along with Los Angeles and Chicago, and I could see the guy spending mega bucks to bring a winner to the National League New York franchise.
Yeah, you know, and again, that is the plan. And, you know, don't forget, they also did pick up Robel Garcia, you know, the former Cub. I believe he's with the Reds. They grabbed him off of waivers. So he is now part of the Mets franchise as well.
Well, that'll turn that whole team around for next season, getting him.
You know, there you go.
You
but, yeah,
it'll
make a, be...
You think they'll make a concerted effort to try to get Bauer? You think that's in their plans?
You know, the weird thing is that's not a giant need. You know, if Marcus Stroman accepts the qualifying offer, I would guess they probably wouldn't. But there have been some reports that he's leaning towards turning it down. So, you know, that may put them back on the market. But, yeah, they have some other, you know, kind of big needs. But I don't know if that guy is out there. There were a lot of reports that it looks like they may be the team that goes after JT Realmuto. And tries to kind of steal him away from the Phillies, and they could use a big-time catcher.
Yeah,
so
sure.
That could be really interesting.
Well, if money is no object, you can see this team being a quick contender in the National League East.
Yeah, and, you know, they did mention, you know, making some trades. Of course, you don't know who would they be willing to part with. That's always the... you know, the big question. But, again, they could actually still sign Bauer and bring Stroman back, and that, you know, that would give them a rotation of, you know, it would be DeGrom, Syndergaard, Bauer, and Stroman. That would be a pretty good 1-4. It would just be piecing in that fifth guy. So, you know, it's an interesting situation if you can convince people to sign there, which isn't always the easiest thing to do.
No, and you would think there's one clear-cut favorite to win the National League East, but other than that one team, the Atlanta Braves, I think the rest of the second through third, fourth, are up for grabs. So they can maybe wind up second place if they made some good acquisitions, and it looks like they're going to be and they stay healthy, and they're pitching. If they get good starting pitching, they're going to be tough.
It's a strange division, you know, because it looked like, you know, the Phillies were going to kind of be the team. You know, they were kind of headed towards building that way, and they were going to be all set and ready to go. And for whatever reason, it just hasn't fallen their way. You know, the Jake Arrieta signing just didn't work out.
No.
You know, they do have Aaron Nola, who looks like he's going to be a very good starting pitcher. But, you know, other than that, they have a lot of questions. You know, you know, the Nationals are kind of hot and cold. I'm not quite sure that they're they're really a contender. And, you know, the Marlins, I know they had a great season and everybody was really excited, but I'm not buying the Marlins contender in a full 162-game season.
No. Well, the way it stands right now, I do not see any other team besides Atlanta winning that division for next season.
No, you would think coming in they have to be the favorite. And obviously a lot of things could change between now and then because, there's going to be free agency signings and all the other kind of stuff that goes with it. But once the Phillies acquire Chris Bryant, that will turn the whole division on its ear and they will be the clear favorites to just run away with the East. Oh,
yeah, unless
did I say that out loud?
The Dodgers or the Yankees. Don't forget those two teams, too. Or Oakland, possibly Oakland. I heard Oakland's name being bandied about, too.
He can't sign anywhere this year. He's going to be traded to the Phillies. So.
Right. Well, also Oakland has expressed some interest, and the Dodgers might be amenable to some kind of a deal. Would they put him in the outfield, or would they put him at third base? I don't know.
Well, no, remember,
Justin Turner's a free agent.
Right.
So,
you may want to think about getting Brian to play third base for the Dodgers.
Well, for years, though, it's always been kind of a conclusion that with Corey Seager's body style, he would probably have to move to third base. So I think if the Dodgers make a move, they're going to go after Francisco Lindor, who the Indians came out yesterday and said they would like to trade him. So, I think that would be the move before, the Dodgers actually would even consider. I think the Dodgers would bring back Justin Turner before they would try to get Chris Bryant.
Yeah, well, certainly Bryan, his reputation has kind of done a downward turn over the last couple of seasons. So I'm not sure what the team would be willing to give up in return if they wanted to acquire him.
Yeah, well, and the tough part is, this is – you've only got him officially for 1 year, and then you've got to decide what you want to pay him. So, it should be a decent return, but it's not going to be the kind of return that every Cub fan thinks it's going to be. They're not going to get what the White Sox got for Chris Sale. They're probably not even going to get what the White Sox got for Jose Quintana when they traded him to the Cubs. So – if they're lucky, they'll get a couple of young guys that might develop. Maybe they'll get one that's major league ready.
You think they'll just get some prospects, some double-A prospects, triple-A prospects, and that's it?
What I would like to see them do is send them to Philadelphia, because Philadelphia actually has their third baseman is up for Rookie of the Year, the kid Alec Brohm. And he looks like he's going to be a really good player. So that would be the first deal I would be looking at if I'm the Cubs and I need to move Brian. Of course, the thing that puts the biggest wedge in it all is, Theo doesn't like to move his guys. So I honestly won't be surprised if the Cubs hang on to him all year and then lose him in the offseason for nothing. They'll hit him with the qualifying offer. He'll turn it down. He'll sign somewhere else, and they'll get the draft pick that won't amount to anything because it's no longer a first rounder. So, that's my guess. If I had to go out on a limb right now, is they will hang on to him and get nothing for him in return.
Yeah. The thing that's interesting to me, and maybe you can comment on this, is that a few years ago, and I remember they showed the World Series Game 7 again on Marquee the other day. The announcers were saying that this is a great young team. They're going to be around a long, long time. It didn't happen, did it? Are they almost in a situation pretty soon?
Again, if you've listened to this podcast, I have a harped on them being, even though they have a World Series, that they are still one of the most disappointing franchises, because with the team they had, we should be talking about multiple World Series championships, not just one. This team should have contended year after year after year, and now I don't know if it was Joe Maddon's mismanagement, because let's face it, he was never the manager that everybody thought they were. While he was a magician in Tampa Bay and they won, while he had all the parts with the Cubs, he was lucky to just win that one World Series. You know, he went through the Angels last year, and I didn't see them in the playoffs, even though it was expanded. So there, you know, a lot of questions about Maddon's managerial ability when it comes to me. And then the other thing, of course, is Theo made some really bad personnel decisions. You know, you knew you were going to lose Aroldis Chapman, but then you brought in Wade Davis. Not great, but not bad. The Craig Kimbrel signing has been an embarrassment. You know, you had Daniel Descalzo, who gave you absolutely nothing. Jason Hayward isn't worth his money. While he's a good player, you know, and obviously he's one of the best defenders in baseball, he's not worth his money. Darvish finally looked like he was worth his money last year, but will that keep going? Quintana was a bust, and you gave up a guy who looks like a perennial all-star for him, not to mention another guy who probably fit in nicely in the four spot in the rotation for a long time. You know, a lot of mismanagement. You know, Kyle Schwarber never turned into Babe Ruth like we were promised.
No, that's true.
You know, we were promised a 40 home run guy, and while he's gotten to 30, you know, he's a butcher in the outfield. So, you know, there's a lot of mistakes when you look at this, the way this Cub team was run and the way this Cub team was managed. You know, that and the fact that there's a lot of soft players on this team. You know, the minute Rizzo came out last year, and I've said this a million times, when the team is talking about the 2021 season while you're playing the 2020 season and you want to know who is going to be on your team, that's a problem, because you shouldn't care. You should be focused on winning. So.
Yep. I'm trying to think back the last time the Cubs made a nice signing. Well, of course, Castellanos, but he only played for, what, half a season for them.
You know, yeah, he ended up being a much better pickup than actually I even expect. You know, he played better defense than I thought. I thought he was going to be just terrible. But, you know, he ended up doing quite well. Now he's doing it quite well for the Reds. Even though they, to be fair, they weren't very good last year. They did get in the playoffs, but I saw as a team they hit .210. But they hit a lot of home runs, so that's all that matters.
That's the name of the game.
Yeah.
Today's baseball, we talked about that before. I mean, what's more important, winning small or hitting a home run?
Yeah, you know, which is kind of sad. And, you know, you've asked me the rebuild question a couple times, and while I don't know, honestly, I don't think Theo Epstein would stay for a full rebuild, but what they may have to do is kind of shift the roster a little bit, because when you look at it, Rizzo is a free agent next year. Craig Kimbrel has an option year, which they're probably not picking up. Then you have Bryant, Baez, and Schwarber, who will all hit the free agent market. And then Wilson Contreras is just 2 years away from it.
Right, that's true.
So you're looking at the core of that team. You know, I mean, we're talking, you know, Rizzo is basically the heart and soul. Bryant won an MVP. Baez looks like he could win one any day. And then Schwarber was a playoff hero. There's no way you're bringing all four of them back. You can't afford that. So who comes back? Rizzo and Baez? Because they're the best two players right now out of them, out of those four.
You would logically think that those are the two they would bring back. Or do you have any other thoughts about that?
You know, it makes sense. You know, the problem is, you know, if you feel Ian Happ or Nico Horner could be the real deal, you could get a lot for a guy like Javi Baez. You could probably get more for Baez than you could for Bryant. You know, so if you were to deal him, you could kind of rebuild on the fly. You know, and again, I wouldn't be surprised to see Contreras go because they have Caratini. So, you know, you could easily move one of those two to help you rebuild. You know, Caratini you have more control over. He's got three more years before he hits free agency. So it
and they also
could,
have
you know,
a promising player at AAA, a catcher, don't they? That's supposed to be pretty good.
You know, they might. I never remember who's where with the minors, especially because they actually didn't play any minor league baseball this year. They had that weird, you know, training camp. But, yeah, it's, you know, again, I don't know if I would call it a full rebuild. But the team is going to look different, if not this year, then next year. So.
Well, as long as they re-sign Descalzo, things should be okay.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, they got to hope, you know, Ian Hop looked much better last year than he did the year before. They've got to hope that Nico Horner is the real thing. You know, and that would kind of soften the blow of, you know, seeing a couple of these guys go away. Obviously, it's easy to replace Schwarber. You know, he's a corner outfielder. They're a dime a dozen. I know they still have Jose Martinez on the roster. He would be an equal fill-in for Schwarber in left field if they wanted to do that. You know, so there's ways to soften the blow there if Schwarber goes away. You know, Brian, I don't know. I mean, he hasn't been the rookie of the year MVP guy he was early, but was he hurt more than we knew? It always seems to be the question with him.
Yeah, he does seem to get hurt quite frequently. And do you think he's ever played the same after that beating? I'm not sure if he's ever gone back to what he was before that.
You know, it doesn't seem like it, but, you know, to be fair, they do say it can take guys years to get over stuff like that. You know, Jason Hayward had a situation like that, you know, years ago.
Yeah, true.
So, you know, it's always possible that there are lingering effects. And, you know, I mean, obviously we don't know because, you know, we're not in his head. So, but yeah, even this year, they've got a lot of decisions to make because, you know, you're looking at the rotation right now is Yu Darvish, Kyle Hendricks, and Alec Mills. How do you round it out?
Don't forget about Azalea.
Like I said, how do you round it out? Because I don't think that's it.
That's right. Are you saying that they will not bring John Lester back on a one-year deal for 2021?
Actually, my guess is Lester does come back on a low-money one-year, probably with an option deal, so he'll get a little money on the back end when they buy it out. I would expect that. I think if he doesn't play here, he probably signs with the Red Sox for that kind of deal. But yeah, I don't, that wouldn't surprise me at all. You know, I know they're not in the Trevor Bauer market, even though their payroll is down right now, their estimated payroll is just about $170 million for next year. So they have some flexibility to go out and get guys. I just don't know how motivated, you know, Epstein is to really do that. And he seems to want to be the smartest guy in the room. And he goes and gets these guys that look like they're done or they never had the opportunity. And he hopes they perform. So he looks like a genius, you know, and it, unfortunately it hasn't worked out.
It hasn't worked out. The last few moves he's made have not worked out at all. And by the way, I'm not 100% sold on either Happ or Horner as a long-term solution.
Yeah, the Jeremy Jeffress move turned out really well for them. You know, he was horrible with the Brewers, But you know, last year with the Cubs, he was their saving grace in the bullpen. I don't know if I would bring him back because I wonder, you know, what's really kind of there or what you're going to get. And, you know, there are some quality late-inning relievers on the market, you know, if you're willing to pay the price. And, I got a feeling Theo is going to cry poor again, even though they're one of the biggest market teams in baseball. You know, he may cry poor and not sign anybody.
Well, what about all the additional revenue they're getting from their own TV channel? I guess that doesn't enter into the fact that they could spend a little bit more money than they have in the last couple of years.
Well, you know, they could have spent it last year and they didn't. And his excuse was that the Ricketts didn't want him to, even though they never publicly said that. So, you know, you have to wonder. But, you know, my guess is we're going to see the Cubs pursue the guys like, you know, Chris Archer was cut loose by the Pirates. He's been injury-plagued the last couple years. That's a perfect Cub type of signing. You know, he's that kind of guy. You know, I wouldn't be surprised to see them contact like a Tajon Walker, who's just 28 or 29, been a little injury prone the past couple years. This is what the Cubs do lately. These are the guys they go out and get, and they hope that they find their form again. You know, I mean, obviously the Tyler Chatwood signing was a complete bust. So.
Well, I don't think the Cubs fan base is too happy about what's been taking place with the Cubs' acquisition of players over the last few years.
No, you know, you wouldn't think so, but then they remind you that they won a World Series and a majority of them forget about it. So.
Well, there's always that, remember the various entertainers and the singers who had a one-hit wonder song type of thing? One hit, and that was it for their career? Well, maybe the same thing will hold true for the Cubs.
Yeah, you know, I mean, unfortunately, it's going that route, you know, but, the sad part was, like I said, it shouldn't have. You know, I mean, this was a team built for multiple world championships, so, you know, you start to assign blame, and you know, to me, it starts with Theo Epstein, but Joe Maddon isn't very far behind.
No,
so.
It's true. And let's look at it this way: maybe 21-24, they'll do it again.
Yeah, that's I know, I've still heard people complain about the Aroldis Chapman thing. Remember, if you don't get Chapman, you don't win that World Series. I know you gave up Gleyber Torres, and he's going to be a long time, you know, probably be a superstar for the Yankees if he stays healthy. But you needed that to win that World Series. So.
And you got to give the Yankees their props because I know he was decent in the minors, but no one expected him to do as well as he did once he joined that team.
Yeah, well, you know, there has been some talk that people are no longer sure if he can be an everyday shortstop. So it'll be interesting to see if the Yankees buy that or, you know, if it's just, you know, somebody trying to blow smoke to try to get because there have been some rumors that Didi Gregorius may go back. So you wonder if it's just a story where, you know, Didi's agent kind of kicked up to kind of get some buzz going there.
Yeah, well, are they saying that he's, what, injury-prone or just doesn't have the stamina to play a full season or what?
You know, I didn't read the article. I just caught the headline, so I don't know what their reasoning was. I don't think there's an issue with him being an everyday shortstop, but, you know, we'll see. And, you know, it's the Yankees, so they could always sign three or four guys and then decide who's going to be their shortstop.
And are they going to bring back LeMahieu?
Well, you know, they want to, but he's going to have a lot of suitors. So.
Hey, what was his original team in the majors, LeMahieu? What team signed him and brought him up?
He was a Cub.
Yeah, I know that. Yeah, they didn't give him much of a chance, did they?
That's because they didn't think he would be a major league quality defender. Even though he did manage to, I believe, win multiple Gold Gloves in Colorado, their belief was that he would not ever be able to play defense.
And they disparaged the hitting in Colorado too, because he was hitting in Colorado. But
yeah, they wrote off the batting titles and everything he won in Colorado because it was in Colorado. So then he went to the Yankees and did it, and all of a sudden he's an MVP candidate.
Yeah, so. Exactly right. And well, of course, the Cubs have been rumored to maybe consider bringing him back, but I don't think that's going to happen.
No, I think he'll be out of their price range as well. So, but I did want to get our last baseball story. There were three big baseball stories. We mentioned Alex Cora. We mentioned the Mets front office. The final one, Major League Baseball announced today that they have finished their investigation into the Justin Turner situation after the Dodgers won the World Series. You know, in case you're not up on it, really quickly, Turner tested positive for COVID-19 and had to be removed from the game. As it turned out, he was placed in isolation in the locker room, you know, away from his teammates with a MLB security guard watching him. After the game was over, it was his teammates who insisted that he come out and celebrate with them. That's basically the reason he came back out on the field. Like the quote here is, his teammates actively encouraged him to leave the isolation room. You know, luckily, I haven't heard anything about any other Dodgers being infected. And as far as I know, Justin Turner is doing fine. Baseball has decided, Rob Manfred and Major League Baseball, they decided that there will be no further punishment for Justin Turner. Do you agree with that, or do you think he should have at least been issued some kind of fine?
I think that he should have been fined, and the team should have been fined too. Definitely, because with a dangerous virus like the COVID, and to come out and celebrate with his teammates, even at the assistance of his teammates, it's a no-no. I mean, that is a really sad situation, and I'm surprised that baseball was wrapping it up or not doing anything about it.
So, yeah, it is a little interesting that there's no discipline. Now, I didn't expect him to be suspended. I didn't expect anything that drastic. But I surely did think he would be fined, or the team would be fined, or, you know, somewhere along the line somebody would be fined. But, yeah, apparently not. And, you know, luckily, like I mentioned, nobody else has gotten sick. So that's a big plus.
And what happened if some of the teammates got sick after the incident? Would they have done something differently?
Yeah, I don't know. I wonder if maybe they took that into consideration when they were kind of going through this. You wonder if, you know, if it would have caused an outbreak, would there have been more of a punishment?
Yeah.
So,
I still disagree with the MLB not finding that. At least the team should have been fined for this.
Yeah.
It's just blatantly disregarding the health of the entire ball club to let them get away with that. There should have been a fine. Something should have been done. That's pretty limp on MLB's part. Maybe they're afraid of the Dodgers. They're world champions, and they have the clout to get away with it.
Yeah, maybe. You do wonder. You know, obviously, we don't know what goes into these decisions. But, yeah, I'm kind of in the same market you are. I'm very shocked that they didn't have, you know, something at least.
You would think so.
That's
the way it happened, and there's not much we could do about it, but I think that was an incorrect decision on MLB's part.
So no, I yeah, you know, I'm right there with you. So
it's actually a shocking decision, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. Oh. But I did come across this article earlier today, and I posted it on sportstimeradio.com, if on the Facebook page, I should say, if anybody is interested in going and reading the full article. But the thing that caught my eye is it's an NHL article, and it says top trades, landing spots for Patrick Kane. Now, I haven't been paying, obviously, complete attention to the NHL news because they haven't even announced when they're coming back next year. Have you heard any rumblings about the possibility of Kane possibly being moved?
I have not seen anything about Kane being moved or Jonathan Toews as well. You would think those two guys are untouchable.
Yeah, you know, you would think, and, you know, I know that, you know, the Blackhawks have made some, you know, or, you know, let some veterans go, traded some veterans. You know, they sent Brandon Saad to Colorado. They let Corey Crawford go via free agency. He's now a New Jersey Devil. You know, so the only real core group they have from that big run they have is Toews, Kane, Duncan Keith, and it looks like
right.
Brent Seabrook is going to come back from that horrific injury for at least one more year. But yeah, you know, other than that, they've got some, you know, newer guys and, you know, that, you know, some younger guys, I should say, but Kane himself is only 31. So it's not like he's old.
No, he's got a lot of more time in the NHL. I would not consider trading him. And are they going to be in that, competitive for this next season, the Blackhawks? I'm not sure if they're not going to be a contender, perhaps for the Stanley Cup, but are they going to be at least a respectable ball club?
Yeah, you know, I wonder. And here's the teams they list. Again, not that I know enough about these, but they have the Buffalo Sabres as the number one choice, and I believe Kane is from there, so that's
yes,
why.
That's correct.
The Florida Panthers, where I believe Joel Quenneville is now the coach, so that would make some sense. Then it's the Montreal Canadiens, the New York Islanders, and the final team is the Philadelphia Flyers. You know, again, I'm not caught up enough with the NHL to kind of know what's going on, but I, you know, if you're going to trade Kane, you might as well trade Toews and Keith and Seabrook, even though you probably wouldn't get much for Keith or Seabrook at this time, you know, and just go ahead and do the full rebuild. So I don't know how competitive they'll be. You know, they didn't make a big free agent signing. So I don't know.
Well, if they were to make a deal, I mean, did this article speculate as to who they would get in return from Buffalo, for example, Montreal, Florida?
No, they didn't have any names on who might be coming back. It was just they were looking for teams like, you know, the Sabres made a big free agent signing. They inked Tyler Hall, or was it Taylor Hall, one of the two. So they thought Kane would be a good pairing there, and they have some young players that they would send back. And basically, if the trade was made, it would be the start of a Blackhawk rebuild. So they would be getting youth in exchange for Patrick Kane.
Well, it doesn't sound like a deal that I would make, but because, as you pointed out, Kane is only 31, so he's got a lot of hockey left in him. On a productive basis that he does year after year after year. It would be hard-pressed to lose a player of that caliber.
Yeah, you know, I mean, yeah, these are the kind of guys you just can't replace. You know, and I mean, the Hawks have some pretty good young players. I mean, you know, Kirby Doc looks like, you know, he's going to be pretty good. He's only 19. You know, Dylan Strom has shown, you know, some life that he could possibly help out. DeBrinket is another one of those, you know, little fast guys that they like. Another young guy, he's only 22. I mean, when you start looking at the Hawks roster, they got a boatload of guys 25 and under. So, you know, if they're right on these guys, you know, it could develop quickly, and, you know, Kane could be leading the next set of Stanley Cup trips for this. So I don't know why you get rid of them.
No, it doesn't make sense to me. And are they going to be in the market for acquiring a goalie?
Yeah, you know, that's the big question. I think more than anything, you know, it looks like, you know, as of right now, it's going to be that Colin Dealey or Malkin Subban in the net. But, you know, neither of those guys really, you know, strike fear in the hearts of anybody shooting the puck, I don't think.
No, that's for sure. You seem to me that they would have to start searching for a number one goalie, because those guys are just backups.
Yeah, and, you know, you wonder at this point, can you find a number one, or is that something you're going to have to deal for? You know, and then, of course, it becomes, you know, what the heck do you got to give up to get them?
Yeah, exactly right. And they got their issues to deal with now that they've pulled the plug on Corey Crawford.
Yeah, you know, and I honestly think it was time for Crawford to go. I understand why they made the move. I think it would have been nice if they would have been a little more prepared for it after they let him go. So.
And in the meantime, we didn't even know when the next season is scheduled to start. They haven't made any kind of announcement yet.
Right. Yeah. They haven't said a word. So, you know, I mean, we know the NBA is going to start December 22nd. I know originally hockey wanted to start January 1st, but I don't know. You know, nothing's been made official, so, you know, we'll have to, we'll have to see if something comes out, or, you know, how it works. But I don't know. Like I said, I haven't found it heard or seen or anything like
that. Well, it will be interesting when they make that determination. And we're still dealing with the COVID, so everything is still speculative right now.
Yeah, you know, it's tough to say, you know, who's going to do what. I mean, I think the only thing you can actually say is, there probably aren't going to be fans when they start this.
Yeah, you would hope that if they do have a regular season, that maybe halfway through the season things would be better, and then maybe some kind of a vaccine and start allowing the fans back into the arena, if only maybe 50% capacity basis. It loses a lot without the fans in the stands. For any of the sports.
Yeah, and there will be, of course, some places where you can still have fans. You know, you've seen it at the NFL games. Certain cities allow a percentage of people in the stands. So that, you know, that would also go for hockey. But, you know, the big question with hockey is, you know, there's, you know, what is there, 5 or 7 teams in Canada? And, you know, the travel is no go.
Yeah.
So how do you work that out? You know, and that may be the holdup with them making any kind of announcement. You know, I know the NBA has just the one issue with Toronto. Like baseball, it's pretty easy to move one team. But, you know, when you're looking, the NHL, you're looking at, you know, the Canadiens, the Senators, the Maple Leafs. You know, they're all in the Atlantic Division. Then you have the Winnipeg Jets in the Central, and then the Vancouver Canucks in the Pacific Division, along with the Edmonton Oilers and Calgary Flames. So there's
very difficult to work something out for them. Very difficult for, for the NHL to work out with a schedule. Now, with the NBA, of course, the simplest thing to do was to shift to Toronto over to Buffalo. It's right next door, so to speak, and that would be a very quick and easy solution for them. Not so with the NHL.
You know, yeah, and to uproot seven teams is going to be a big undertaking. And you know, I believe the setup is, you know, when you go into Canada or you come to America from Canada, you have to go into quarantine for 14 days. Where you're not going to be giving teams 2 weeks off between games.
No, that's a no-no. So something will have to be worked out, but I'm not sure how it's going to be handled.
Yeah, you know, in some cases, you know, like I know for the baseball season, they tried to have Toronto play in Toronto, and Canada said no, they wouldn't allow the teams to travel in to Toronto. So, I would guess they would probably do the exact same thing for the NHL.
Yeah, it's going to be very difficult to work something out, which is probably why we haven't seen any information at all about the forthcoming season.
It's a difficult spot for, you know, a sport like that. There's just no wiggle room with this going on. So, you know, it's tough. And, I wish we had more to say, you know, and we could say, oh, yeah, they're going to start here and they're going to do this. But, yeah, I just don't, you know, nobody knows.
No. And as we see in the papers, the situation regarding the virus is not getting any better, to say the least.
No. I mean, I do expect it will get better once we finally clear up the election here. Especially if Joe Biden wins, I think the virus will go away. But, yeah, you know, that's just my conspiracy theory.
Yeah, right. Well, I think you're correct, though. I think it's pretty well established that Mr. Biden will get the required number of electoral votes. And don't get me started on the Electoral College, because that thing is 200 years old, and they still use the same thing where it's possible for a candidate to win the popular vote and lose the electoral votes, and which happened the last in 2016. I don't think it'll happen this year.
Yeah, all I know is if the rumors about the Biden taxes and gas being $7 a gallon, we're going to have some big issues here for me.
Well, I don't think that's going to happen. I think you're pretty well rest assured that the gasoline tax won't be that high.
Yeah, so like I said, it better not, or else they're going to have to deal with me. So.
That's right, and they don't want to do that. So, I don't think it's going to happen.
So yeah, and obviously, I care probably less about politics than anybody. I don't listen to what anybody says. I cast my ballot the way I want to cast my ballot, and I don't care what celebrity says or who says what. So that's just how I am.
Well, remember one thing, that the Whig Party doesn't really have much of a chance anymore to capture the winning votes.
I am considering trying to bring that party back, though. So maybe in 2024. We'll talk to you Monday. Have a good week.